those pictures bring back a lot of memories, memories, some of a day gone by when I had hair. I mean, that was like an amazing time in my life, but that's history. Really what I want to talk to you about today is really the dream, God's dream, that set us starting this church some 25 years ago. And so that's kind of where we're going today. Now, I want you to, I want to give you kind of an imaginary exercise here. How would you respond if I were to ask you if you could come up with $200,000 in cash by the end of the week? How would you respond? I mean, chances are, if you're like most people, I mean, if you're not like mega rich, you'd go, wow, you know, there's no way. I mean, that's impossible. There's no way that I could do that. I mean, I can barely pay my bills. I certainly couldn't come up with that kind of cash in that short of a period of time. And if that's you, you're like most people. You know, most of us, we could not even begin to do that. Now, let me give you another imaginary experience here. I want you to think about the people that you love most. Okay, a short list would probably be your spouse, your kids, your parents, maybe a really good, trusted friend. And I want you to be real specific and just think about one of those individuals. Just pick out one of them, get that face in your head. And just suppose that I were to tell you that person, that special person in your life is really, really sick. Now, I'm not talking about sick like, oh, you know, I got to go puke my guts out, you know, and bowing down at the porcelain god called the toilet bowl. And I'm not talking about puke my guts out kind of sick. I'm talking about sick like they're not going to live beyond the next month, kind of sick. And all of a sudden, I would have your undivided attention. And if I were to say, well, the doctor has said that very special person in your life, they're not going to live beyond the next month. There's no way. They don't have a chance of that unless they get this very rare shot by the end of the week. But it's very expensive because it's very scarce medication. And your response might be, wow, well, money's no object. It doesn't matter what it costs. Man, I'm going to do whatever it takes. But I'm going if that's what will save life, I'm going to get them that medication. How much is it? I go, well, it's $200,000. Now, remember, just a moment ago, you said, oh, there is just no way. I mean, it would be like impossible to come up with $200,000 within the week. But all of a sudden, things would change. Your perspective would change. You might go, man, it still doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever it takes, but I'm going to come up with that. I mean, I may have to take out an equity loan. I mean, I may have to sell everything that I have. I'd call up that rich uncle or relative, whoever that is. You may be thinking knocking off a bank or something. You know, hopefully not, but maybe. But what is it that changes? What is it that leads to those kinds of extreme measures? Say, man, I am going to find a way to make this happen. What changed? Well, in the first scenario, there was no incentive. But in this second life and death scenario, all of a sudden you are unstoppable. All of a sudden you have just got this huge passion and sense of urgency in your life. A lot of us, we grew up in church. But there certainly wasn't any kind of compelling sense of passion and urgency to it. I mean, we just went to church because it's what you did. I mean, it was what was expected of us. It was, a good thing to do. It was what good people did. I mean, it was good, kind of like eating your vegetables is good. You know, kind of like brushing your teeth is good. And for some of us, that was a positive experience. For others of us, let's just be honest, for some of us, it was just a drudgery. I mean, it was just so dry and so boring. It was so irrelevant. It wasn't helpful. I mean, we just went through it, but oh my goodness. I mean, we didn't understand half of what was being said. I mean, we just went because that's It's what you did. It's what we were supposed to do. But we never, certainly never expected for anything life-altering to happen or anything life-impacting to happen. We never really expected to get anything helpful out of it. We just went because you went. And if that's your experience, I want you to know, I can relate to that because I have certainly sat through my share of just boring, lifeless services. But here's what I want you to get. God never intended for it to be that way. God's dream for the church has always been that it would be vibrant, dynamic, relevant, life-impacting, life-changing, that it would be helpful, that it would be a place where we could find comfort and encouragement and guidance and strength and so much more. God's dream is for Jesus working through the church to be the hope of the world. And when the local church is functioning the way that God intended it for, man, there is nothing like the local church. Nothing like it when it's working well. And if we could just understand how high the stakes are, I mean, if you really understood how high they are, and you really understood what God's dream is, and you really understood what God is trying to do, I think, man, I just think your sense of urgency and passion would be huge to be a part of what God is doing, what God wanted the church to be. I think you would want to prioritize what God prioritizes, his church, the bride, the body of Christ that Jesus himself gave his life for. And so what I want to do today is I want to go back to a passage of scripture that paints a picture of this dream. So if you have your Bible, if you would, go ahead and open it to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 42 through 47. This is probably the most succinct passage of scripture that describes this dream that God has had for the church and for our lives. Now, before we even get to it, before we read it, you need to understand that when we started this church, we weren't trying to do like traditional church 10 or 20 or whatever, 30% better. We were wanting to be a part of something that was fresh, something that was new, something that was vibrant and life impacting. We're like, man, we want to somehow be able to experience the kind of church that you find in the pages of Scripture, the New Testament church, the kind of church that they had in the first century. And most of us had not experienced that when we were growing up. But man, I'm telling you, that's what we longed for when we started this church. We were going to be a part of providing environments where people that didn't even like church, and people who had been turned off, people who had just bailed on church and God, where they would want to come. We wanted to create environments where kids, and instead of, you know, griping and complaining and coming up with all kinds of excuses why they wanted to stay home that week, where they would beg their parents to bring them back. We wanted to be a place where adults and teenagers, man, even ones that weren't into the whole God thing, that they would show up and they would go, wow, something's happening here. And I don't understand it all, and I'm not sure I even agree or believe or understand everything they're saying about Jesus, but something's going on, and something's happening in me. And I'm coming back. And so today I want to look at this dream that God had through the filter of our vision as a church. And my hope and my prayer is that God will grab hold of your heart and he will grab hold of your soul in such a way and to such a degree that you leave here today just going, man, I want to say yes to that. I want to say yes to the adventure of God's dream for his church and God's dream for my life. Our vision as a church is to be a church where people want to move closer to God, each other, and the disconnected. That's our vision as a church. And if you don't remember that, this is our vision right here, to be a church where people want to move close to God, each other, and disconnected. If you have a hard time holding on to that, I would just encourage you, hold on to this one word. We're all about movement. That's what we're about. We're going to constantly be encouraging and nudging and challenging each other to be moving toward Christ-likeness. our heartbeat. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. So I want to look at this passage of scripture, and I want to give you the biblical foundation, the underpinnings of God's dream, of our vision, the vision that God has given us. And it's not about just coming up with some things going, oh, you know what? I think this would be neat for us to do as a church. I think this would be kind of fun, kind of cool. No. What we got to figure out is we got to figure out and discover what is God's dream? What does God say? And then let's pursue that. Let's pursue that with everything that we've got. So if we're going to live out the dream that God has for us as a church and in our individual lives, looking at it through this filter, here's what we need to do. Look at this. I'm going to read you this passage of scripture in its entirety, and we're going to come back and we're going to kind of unpack it and dissect it. It begins in verse 42, Acts chapter 2. It says, they, talking about the Christ followers in the early church, the first century, says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and good, they gave to anyone as he had need. In verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, if we were being honest with ourselves, many of us would have to admit that is nothing like the church experience that we had in our youth. That's not what we experienced. But when we started this church, we said we want to give it one ginormous, gigantic, just all in intensive effort, aggressive, risk-taking effort to do church, to live out the dream that God had based on this text and others like it. He said, that's what we're going to give ourselves to. And we were basically saying, if it existed in the Bible, if it existed in the first century, man, it needs to exist today in our world, in our community. There needs to be a manifestation of this dream that God had. And so based on the vision that God has given us, I want to look at God's dream for the church. Number one, the first thing that we need to do if we're going to be a part of God's dream, number one, is we need to keep moving closer to God in intimacy. We need to keep moving closer to God in intimacy. We want to be a church that encourages people to continuously, consistently, on an ongoing basis, to be growing, to be moving towards God in intimacy. It doesn't matter whether you're new to the faith, new to this whole Christianity thing. Maybe you've still got questions. You've got doubts. That's fine. That's great. Ask your questions. Talk to people about the doubts that you have in your life. I mean, that in and of itself, that's moving. Just be moving. You may be a devoted Christ follower. I mean, that's great, but you still need to keep growing. You need to be moving toward Christ's likeness. And if that's going to be a reality, if we're going to be moving towards intimacy with God, we have got to get into Scripture. Look at what the text says, verse 42 there. It begins, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, the apostles' teaching, that little statement, is in essence what we now have as the New Testament. So what it's getting at here is it's saying they devoted themselves, in the early church, they were devoted to God's word. From the time that we started as a church, we said, man, that's the kind of church we want to be. We want to be a church where people are devoted to God's truths. In the sense that there are those moments when we go, wow, I think God just spoke to me. I think God's word has just invaded my consciousness. I think there's some things that I did last weekend that I need to stop doing. There's some new patterns that need to start in my life. I think there's some sin that I need to confess. I think there are some people that I need to reconcile with, some relationships that I need to reconcile in my life. I think there's some people that I need to treat differently. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? But there's kind of that sweeping influence on our life where you just go, wow, God is doing something in my life. God is doing something here. But many people have never experienced that. And they wonder if it can really even happen. And we started this church, we said, man, we want that. We want that to be the norm. We just live without a sense that, man, God is doing something through his word and in our lives. So we want to really be devoted, truly devoted to following God's truths, living out God's guidelines in our life, even when it's challenging. Even when it means that some things need to change in our behavior, in our attitude, in how we're interacting with people. I mean, after all, think about it. Who knows best what we need in our life? Who really knows what we need? God or us? Who knows what's best? And we like to think that it's us, but it's the one who designed us, the one who created us. He's the one who really knows what's best. And he has our best interests at heart. And he has an incredible plan for our lives if we'll just follow him. You see, a lot of people, when it comes to God's word and being devoted to it, rather than really devoting themselves to his word, they have kind of a buffet approach to scripture. And when you go and you eat at a buffet in a restaurant that has a buffet, how do you do that? What do you do? I mean, you walk in and you have all this delicious food and you go, oh, I like that, and so I'm going to heap a bunch of that on my plate, and I like that, and I like that. Yeah, you know, broccoli, I don't know about that. Brussels sprout, I don't like that. So, and you just kind of leave that behind. And some people want to approach scripture that way. Well, I like this teaching right here, so I'll implement that. I don't like that one, so I'm going to ignore that one. You can't do that. You got to take it all and seek to understand it and then internalize it. And then we need to apply it to our day-to-day lives. And we said, that's the kind of church that we want to be. A church where we're devoted to God's word. But not only were they devoted to reading and reflecting and internalizing and living out God's truths, his principles for life, but then it goes on and it says they devoted themselves to prayer. And we said, that's the kind of church that we want to be, where people are devoted to really connecting with God, to talking with God, because that's what prayer really is. It's talking to God. It's not about reciting a bunch of stuff. It's not about reading somebody else's writings about what their prayers were at one point in their life. It's not about repeating a bunch of things over and over and over. It's just talking to God. It's just being real and connecting with this God, is communicating with a God who really cares about us. But for a lot of us, prayer is just something that happens at church that pastors or ministers do that lasts a little too long and just sounds a little too hollow. I've often said that one of the biggest disservices that pastors offer ministers a lot of times is just praying these big, highfalutin prayers with all these big million-dollar, fancy, flowery words, and people go, wow, look at that. Wow, that is so impressive. I could never pray like that. Wow, isn't that something? But I don't think God's impressed. People, for some reason, may be. But I think God just looks and he just goes, get over yourself. Because what God is really into is God just wants us to be real when we come to him, when we talk to him, when we pray. He just wants us to be authentic. God, it's me. God, I need your help. We need to pray with respect, but we need to pray. We need to talk to God in our lives. That's the kind of church that we want to be, that we've always wanted to be, where people are connecting with God, where people are devoted to God, and they see, they understand the power, the value of spending time with God, the power of the difference that prayer can make in their lives. And then it goes on in the text, in verse 43, and says, everyone, look at this, everyone was filled with awe. It says everyone kept feeling that the sense of awe. You might circle there on your outline, or if you got your Bible, even highlighted or underlined, that word awe. They kept feeling a sense of awe because they never knew what the Holy Spirit was going to do next. But you know what? And many people, they've been to church 5, 10, 15 years in a row. I mean, every weekend. And it's just business as usual. Week in and week out, week in and week out, week in and week out, the same old thing, the same old drill, the same old deal. And if anything different had ever happened, they would have passed out. They would have fainted. There wasn't that sense of awe. And many people, they've wondered. They wonder, when's the Holy Spirit going to do something in this place? When is the Holy Spirit going to surprise us? When is the Holy Spirit going to ambush us? When are we going to experience manifestation that God is active in our midst? Hey, when's that going to happen? But in the New Testament church, we read about right here, it says there was a sense of anticipation. There was just this sense when people show up, what's God going to do next? What's God going to do today in my life, in my heart? What's he going to do in the lives of the people around me? What's he going to teach me today? What's he going to do in the life of the friend that I brought with me today? What's God going to do in the life of the church as a whole? We want to be a church where there's that sense of awe. There's that sense of excitement. There's that sense of just wonder at what God's up to. What is God up to around here? And then on down in verse 47, it says they were praising God. As you look at this whole text, you get the distinct impression there was a sincere inner longing to experience God's presence and to express their authentic and heartfelt devotion to God. Now, praising God and worshiping God is a lot more than just singing. I mean, it's anything and everything that we do to express our love, to express our devotion to God. What it is, it's a heart ignited with passion for God. You see, authentic worship is God-centered. It's not self-centered. It's not self-absorbed. It's not about how I feel. Authentic worship is focused on God. I mean, by definition, worship is about taking the focus off of ourselves, off of the circumstances around us, off of other people, and zeroing in and locking in on God and saying yes to God and offering him a heart, a sincere heart that is fully surrendered to him. So if we're going to be a part of God's dream, man, we need to keep moving closer to God in intimacy. We need to offer God a heart that says, God, I want to be fully devoted to you and what you're about. But not only that, the second thing that I want you to see, if we're going to live lives and devote to God and be a part of his dream. Number two, we need to keep moving closer to each other in community. We need to keep moving closer to each other in community. If we're going to keep moving spiritually, if we're going to keep experiencing the life that God has for us, maturing in our spiritual life, relationships, they're critical. They really are. You see, one of the key ways that God goes developing us, one of the ways that he goes developing love and peace and patience and kindness and sensitivity and humility in our life is through our relationships. And that's why I'm constantly nudging you, constantly, you know, encouraging you, challenging you to plug into it, to a small group. Because as we connect with others and we begin to talk about our spiritual lives and how to apply God's truths and principles to day-to-day life, that's how we go becoming the individuals that God made us to be. Look what it says here. It says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. It says they devoted themselves to real fellowship. Not the kind of deal where you stand around and do the superficial veneer kind of relating to each other, you know, where you talk about, you know, what you did last week, and you talk about what you're going to do next week on a real safe level, and then you head home for the week. Now, you see, this text is talking about a whole different kind of fellowship, I believe. It's talking about kind of fellowship that you have when masks come off and where people take risks in relationships and they're real with each other and they admit all is not well in my life. And I think you love me enough for me to be safe in sharing that and telling you about it. Where people feel like it's a safe place to be able to say, you know, everything in my marriage, my relationship with my wife was not going well. This has been a rough week. Or where we're able to say, you know, I'm at odds with my oldest son. We're kind of struggling and I'm scared. Or where a member pulls another member aside and says, my spiritual life is just as dry as the Sahara Desert. Or a member pulls another member aside and says, you know, I'm drinking too much. Or say, you know, I'm having a problem with pornography. I have a problem with gambling. Or someone says, you know, I'm losing faith. The Christianity really isn't working for me. And I want it to, but man, I don't know what's happening. Will you pray with me? Can we talk? But you know what typically happens in churches all across America? A couple will show up at church and they have these nice superficial conversations with each other. And then they head home and maybe nobody sees them for 6 months. And then you find out that they'd gone through 6 or 8 years where their marriage was going through some major tension and problems and difficulties. And then there was an affair. And then the whole thing just blew apart. And there was a divorce. But nobody knew anything until everything exploded and there was shrapnel falling everywhere. Because it wasn't safe to say things are not going well in my life. I'm struggling. I need some help. From the time that we started as a church, we said we want more than just superficial relationships and pasted on smiles and cliche statements like praise God for this and praise God for that and everything's going fine and wonderful in my life. We want a place where we could be real. When you were hurting, we want to be a place where people could acknowledge that. Because the reality is that underneath the surface, there are so many people who are hurting. Husbands and wives are feeling neglected and ignored, and yet nobody wants to say anything about it. We said we want to be a place where you don't need to pretend that everything is okay when it's not okay. We want to be a place where masks come off, where we can be genuine. We can be ourselves and still be accepted and loved. Now, that doesn't mean that we condone or ignore each other's bad attitudes, that we just look the other way when people are self-centered and they're involved in self-destructive lifestyles and behaviors. It means that we accept each other where we are and we encourage and we challenge each other to be the individuals that God designed us to be. And then it goes on in this text, not only in this where it's talking about this being a real fellowship, and it says that they sacrificed to meet each other's needs. I mean, look at this in verse 44. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and good they gave to anyone as he had need. Well, let me ask you, has that been your experience of how church works throughout your life? Where someone who had a little extra says, wait a minute, time out, I have enough. I've got enough. I mean, here's a single mother who's struggling. I mean, she's working 2 jobs, trying to take care of her kids, trying to make ends meet, but man, she's floundering, she's having a hard time, or her car isn't doing well. I've got enough. She matters to God. She needs to matter to me. And you know what? I think I could take a little time and help her figure out a budget and get on a budget that might be sustainable for the long haul. And I think I might be able to help her out financially or with my small group, we might be able to help her out and pay some utility bills to get her over this hump. And, you know, I think I've got a friend that maybe could come over, maybe look at the car, and, you know, maybe we could get it fixed for her. And I tell you, when that kind of thing starts happening, man, it just takes the whole experience to another level. And people say, oh, wait, this isn't just a program. This isn't just church as usual. I mean, this is something new. This is something different. Now, man, we haven't arrived in this area, but we're catching glimpses of this on an ongoing basis. Where through our small groups, needs are being met. And we've had people in the life of our church who have decided, you know, I don't need the resale value on my car. I think I'm going to give it to the church so that the church can help out someone who's in need in their life. We've had others who have come along and said, you know, I can maybe spruce and do some minor little things on the car. And we've had the opportunity to give individuals a car and say, here, this is from somebody who cares about you. It doesn't happen all the time by any means, but those kind of things are happening. There are small groups who have people that provide each other with meals, provide childcare for each other when they're going through difficult times, where they've helped each other move from one place to another. At times, one of the best things you can do is just offer a listening ear. Those kinds of things are happening. That's the kind of church that we want to be, where more and more, that's just the norm. And then it goes on, verse 46, and says, they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere heart. It says informally. They're just breaking bread together. Why? Because they just liked each other. They enjoyed being together. And churches didn't have to put on potluck dinners and badger everybody and say, hey, you need to show up. Make sure you show up. No, they were just informally doing this. What was happening in the New Testament church was that because of the spiritual and the relational authenticity, people without being organized said, you know what I'd like to do on Friday night? I like to get together with a bunch of other people whose lives are changing, who are growing, who are wanting to follow Jesus. And I like to get together and talk about something more than the Cardinals or the Blues or what's happening in the economy and everything else that's going on. I'd like to be able to get together and talk about how we can do life in this messed up world, following the principles of God. How do we do that? And we said, you know, that's the kind of church that we want to be. We like to be a church where people can be real, where people can take off their mask and still be loved and accepted because they value each other, because they love each other, they like each other. And this is a dream. I mean, if you just get hold of the dream that God has for the church, that's what we're trying to be. That's what we're trying to create. And that is something God's dream is worth giving our whole life to. And not only do we need to be moving closer to God and intimacy, not only do we need to be moving closer to each other in community, but if we're going to be a part of God's dream, if we're going to keep moving and pursuing God's dream, number three, we need to keep moving closer to the disconnected, to the unconvinced in influence. In verse 47 of this text here, it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When people are authentically loving God and they're authentically, you know, caring and loving each other, even people who've turned their back on God tend to be drawn. It's like that's magnetic, and people are drawn to that. I mean, the early church, there were people, it says here, they were coming to faith daily. They were coming to faith consistency. Let me ask you, was that your experience growing up? I mean, for a lot of us, we'd have to say, no, it wasn't. But when there's a regular infusion of people coming to Christ, I mean, man, that just does something in the church. I mean, people get fired up, and there's something that happens. There's this fresh breeze of excitement and energy that, I mean, you can, like, feel. I mean, it's, like, palpable that God is doing something in this place. You see, a healthy church has an outward focus. I mean, the natural bent for most, just in life, but even in church, the natural bent is to do life from a perspective of what's in it for me. And we do it when it comes to church too. Well, what's in it for me? And it becomes all about self. It becomes all about, it's so easy for this to happen. It can be all about my needs, my wants, my interests, my comforts, my desires. But the Bible is very clear about the fact that we need to care about those who are disconnected, those who are far from God, who need what only Christ can offer. They matter to God. And they need to matter to us. We need to live with the awareness that people's eternal destiny hangs in the balance. We need to live with the awareness that the stakes are sky high. And when we really begin to live with that awareness in our life, our passion and our sense of urgency is just going to be ignited. And when we really grasp, when we really understand this dream that God has for the church and for us and for others to be able to experience, we're going to say, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to give my life to that. I want to be a part of what God is doing. We need to live our lives with this passionate sense of urgency. Going, God, I want to be a part of that. We need to keep moving and pursuing God's dream. That's what God calls us. That's what he invites us to. Now we're gonna finish up and I'm gonna pray. But if we're gonna live out this dream, if this is really gonna be real, it takes every one of us. It takes every one of us saying, God, man, I want that. And some of us, we have longed for this dream, and we haven't even known that that's what we've been longing for. There has been something missing in our lives. We've wanted to be a part of something that was real. We wanted to be able to take off our mask and have people accept us and love us for who we are. And God does, and there's a place, a community where we need to be living that way. And we want to have guidance for how do we make sense out of life. And that's there. We want to make a difference, and there's an opportunity to. So my question to you is, what's the next step for you? If you're going to be a part of God's dream, what's the next step? Whatever it is, don't put it off. Don't get stuck. Don't go lollygag around and go, oh, you know, one of these days I'll get around to it. No, take the next step, whatever that next step is. Being a part of God's dream is worth giving your life to. What is that next step for you? I mean, maybe for you, it's just a baby step. It doesn't have to be a huge, giant step. But whatever the step is, take the next step in your life. Because if you don't, if you remain stuck in your life, you're going to miss out on God's best. Maybe the next step for you is that you need to make sure that your life, while you're living, is in alignment with what God's word says. You need to devote yourself to God's truths, his principles. And some of you know that there are some things in your life that need to change, that you need to get in alignment with God's truth. Maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's a behavior, maybe how you're interacting with people in your life, maybe it's a habit that you've fallen into, but you know that there's some things that need to change. And you need to take that step in your life. For some of you, what needs to happen is the mask needs to come off. You need to quit playing games and pretending that everything is great and wonderful and marvelous when it's really not. And you find some people who are going, man, you can be safe. You know, you're going to be loved. And on the receiving end, some of us need to be the kind of individuals where people can be honest and we're not going to go blabbing. We're not going to talk about it. We're just going to accept people where they are, because the truth is we all have our junk and our baggage in our lives. Some of you, maybe you need to plug into a small group. You need to sign up as we start that up. And you have time for everything else, but that hasn't been a priority in your life. But when you get to doing life with others and talking about how you apply God's truths in day-to-day life, it will take your spiritual life to a whole nother level. Maybe there's someone that God wants you to invite, and you've just been putting it off. What's the next step? Take the next step. keep moving and pursuing God's dream. Let's join together with a sense of urgency and passion and be the church that God dreamed of us being. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer today is that you would grab hold of our hearts and our souls to such a degree that whatever the next step is for us in our individual lives, that we would say yes to you. Yes, God, I want to be a part of the adventure of your dream. I encourage you to do something tangible, something specific in your life. Take the next step in your life. And for some of you, maybe the next step is beginning to consider seriously the claims of Christ. For some of you, maybe the next step is stepping across the line of faith. You've been thinking about it. You've been saying, oh, I know I need to. You know that's what you need to do. And this is the time. Right where you are today, you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to place my faith in you. I want to receive your gift of forgiveness. I want you to begin to lead my life. I want you to be the Savior of my life. I want to follow Jesus. Maybe it's determining, man, I'm nailing down. I'm going to be a part of a small group as we start that up in a few weeks. And you're saying, God, I want to be used of you. I want to be a part of your dream. God, what you have for our lives is the very best life. It's unimaginable plan that you have. And God, my prayer is that we as individuals, that we as a church would say yes to the adventure of being a part of your dream. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.